All right, let's open up our Bibles to the Song of Solomon. And God willing, we're moving into the glorious chapter 5 tonight. And what an abundance of divine grace we found and we are going to really find so sweetly in the 5th chapter. And how fitting, the number 5, the number of grace. And brothers and sisters, I pray by the grace of God that we are soaring with the Shulamite that is within us. And I mean that very sincerely, because that Shulamite lives in you all by the grace of God. And the reason I can say that with confidence is because the Word of God does not return void to Him. And the Lord has seen fit to give you and to give me Paul's gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ and His wife. And I know that He has sent it to us because the Word of God says so. And I know that He'll produce in what He sends to. And so I want to have confidence in that glory, praise God, of Christ in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. And we can settle down in that. And brothers and sisters, that's why we can hear this. And it was sweet to talk to a sister today and talking about some of the things about Song of Solomon. And, oh, just, well, I don't see that yet. Well, that's all right. You know, praise God. I'm just praying, Lord, give us an enlightened eyes of understanding. Give us a thirst and a hunger. I want to see more in here. Praise God. I don't want us to compare ourselves amongst ourselves. That's not what we're here to do. We're here to allow the Spirit to minister to us, praise God, and to take the things of Christ, and that's what He does, and to make them ours, and to shew them unto us, and to understand that that we are to grow in His wondrous love to us. But as we understand that God has given this to us, brothers and sisters, the Shulamite that's within us, this isn't just a book, this isn't just a reading. This is what is meant to be, the height of what is meant to be for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by the Spirit. And I do believe by the grace of God that He's whispering these words to us. And he that hath an ear, let him hear. And it's a still small voice. It really is. It's something you have to be still to hear. You can't be real busy. You know, when somebody's really speaking to you about how much they really love you, you want things quiet. You want to tune an ear. And this is what the Lord is doing with those that want to know, will know of His precious, perfect will and all of it and the completeness of it, of what He has. But where the Spirit has taken her has been very precious, brothers and sisters, because where the Spirit has taken this sweet sister is very much so the reality of our lives. It's been laid out. You think from the moment we began this study, from the very first verse where she responds to His proposal, it's just like the moment when we responded to the proposal of Jesus Christ. And that always comes one way. That comes from Paul's gospel. Amen? That's true. See, that's the mystery of Christ in the church. That's the mystery, praise God, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, joint heirs, as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. And at that moment, brothers and sisters, as the Shulamite, praise God, those that have responded to it, grace has caused our hearts to say, let Him kiss me. Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. And He sure did, didn't He? Praise the Lord. And has He ever stopped? No, He hasn't. And does He continue to pursue you? Oh, yes, He does. And does He not let you alone? Praise God, He doesn't. And as the Word of God says, I'll come for those words. And He heard each and every one of us say, at the time of that proposal, when we first heard it, to respond to it, I will go. And He'd been waiting your whole life for that moment for you to say, I will go. Praise God. And I am so thankful that here we are tonight, and we can be encouraged of Christ in us, the hope of glory, looking at one another, knowing what our purpose and the plan of God is, the provision that He has given us in His Son, and then the power of the Holy Ghost to perform it in us, and to, again, to have that love of God alive and living and passionate in our lives. And again, it's all because of the faithfulness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we've seen in studying this precious sister, there's a battle that continues to go on. Can you imagine that? Sound familiar, doesn't it, huh? And it's a battle, isn't it? Oh, yes, it is. But I was thinking again as the Lord encouraged my heart, you know what? Now are we the sons of God, but it doth not appear what we shall be. Oh, I want it to be like that, Lord. And he just has to remind me again today. Honey, it just doesn't appear what it's going to be. Not yet. Not yet. Can you believe me? Will you tarry? And he changes us from glory to glory. But sometimes we just say, well, Lord, I want that change too. But that's the glory, praise God, that keeps us in that place of infirmity that the power of Christ has to rest upon us, doesn't it? Amen? To comfort us and to buffet us. And I thank God how he does this so perfectly in our lives. But we know the battle, because once we laid hold of the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, it was on. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And we know it for each one of our lives. We know it for each one of our brothers and sisters in Christ, their lives. And you see, again, ones that are having a hard time. And brothers and sisters, God help us to be compassionate and continue to lift up the weary hands. And not to be quick to judge, not to judge at all, but just to be spiritual and praying always. And to have that honey ready and those golden apples ready to give to restore such a one. Lord, always, God willing, give us a heart for that. But his love, brothers and sisters, is overwhelming. And in that overwhelming love that he gives us, we really almost have to fight, don't we? Because we're in love. We become in love. And yes, sometimes we get a little bit weary, but love causes us to fight. And love causes us to fight a good fight, because love, praise God, is how faith works. Faith worketh by love. As we read into the Word of God and the Holy Spirit ministers the Word of God to us, he sheds that love of God abroad in our hearts, and we become more confident, we become more passionate. And it's passionate and confident in the grace of God, the power of Christ in you, the hope of glory, the power that is that life that lives in you, that now we live by the faith of the Son of God. Isn't that something? Oh, I thank the Lord for that. Moment by moment, that life encourages me in the Word of God. And I thank the Lord how that life is the life that encourages me to go and read the Word of God and study the Word of God and hear the Word of God. But see, brothers and sisters, that fight of faith, it goes on, and that fight is to believe and to rest in grace. Amen? Really. It's not to have faith in your faith. You're barking up the wrong tree there. Don't have faith in your faith. Mm-mm. You have faith in grace. Grace, praise God, for grace. And grace, praise the Lord, gives us faith to go after grace. Isn't that something? Praise the Lord. So in that, we are thankful because we fight the good fight of faith through the trials, through the devil's lies. And brothers and sisters, without that constant encouragement of hearing the Spirit's voice to us, we will fall away. We will become weak. Amen? We will. You know it. When we get away from the Spirit ministering the Word of God to us, we become weak. We don't want to fight. We don't fight. We don't. Matter of fact, a lot of times we don't put on the whole armor of God. Might have a piece here or there, but without that whole armor, we're going to be weak. And thank the Lord how sweet the Lord is, because God is faithful. And God in his faithfulness, he continues to tell us, honey, my grace is sufficient for thee. See, my grace is even sufficient in your unbelief, isn't it? Amen? Isn't that sweet and wonderful to be encouraged that way? My grace is sufficient in your disobedience. My grace, praise the Lord, is just sufficient always. And brothers and sisters, as we've been reading this, and we know in our lives, every time there is a lull in our life, every time there is a withdrawing in our life, The Lord is always there. He has never moved. And His pursuing us only becomes more intense. It does. And that's the truth. And we know it because He makes you miserable. It's true, isn't it? Hallelujah. Praise God for the chastening of the sons of God. Isn't it wonderful how He does that? And it's not to punish us. It's to make us ache. And I love to ache after the Lord in a good way, to ache to see Him. But I know that ache when I have wandered and been away from it and maybe hardened a bit. And praise God for that ache too, because that's the grace of God. But see, He's always there encouraging her. And He's always encouraging us, brothers and sisters, as what we are to Him. As we've seen so sweetly, and this is the ministering to us. Praise God. She is absolutely stunning in beauty. Her divine purpose, as He tells us over and over, is to win me. Win me. As Brother Paul said, if by any means. If by any means. Praise God. I want to win you. And thank the Lord that, again, we follow Paul as he followed Christ. And that winning is to rule and reign and to be glorified together with Him. As He says, I want you for my wife, my sister, my spouse. Isn't that sweet how He does that? I love it. Bringing that forth, making it very clear, my sister, my spouse. We've gone this way with Him. And hallelujah, He doesn't forget. Matter of fact, that's the only thing He's not going to forget. I thank God He wants us to be His seated queen with Him in glory forever. And as I mentioned just a minute ago, every time she falters, the quickening, as we see, is so much more mighty and only more bold as she lays hold and comes forth even more glorious to Him. Isn't it been wonderful, really, to read this? I thank the Lord. The encouragement, the fellowship, the courtship, if you will, it only becomes more intimate. He only becomes more descriptive. His words only become more, have more depth and meaning. He dotes upon her and He tells her over and over these things. Oh, honey, I love you. My sister, my spouse, my spouse. He can't help but say these things in speaking to her now. She has gone that way. She has proven, praise God, of that love and that grace in her life. And as we got to the end of chapter 4, you'd almost read that and you'd think, oh, well, it's all wrapped up. It's concluded. She gets it. Oh, she's there. Oh, my goodness. She gets it that her sufferings are where all the bounty lies. She realizes she is the Lord's pleasure, the fruitfulness of her garden. Praise the Lord. He's come to feast upon, and she is happy in Jesus. But let's go ahead and read that together. In the 4th chapter, verse 16. She says, awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. And I am so thankful because I'll tell you, she's right there. And we're right there. That she's really saying in a certain way, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. That vision of what she is to him and how she can confidently call out, oh, come on, north wind. Come on, all you cold things. And furnace, blow on me too. Because I know that's the sweet-smelling sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to him. I get this, praise God. And I'm thanking the Lord that this has come. Let my beloved come into his garden. I'm his. And praise God and eat his pleasant fruits. So, as we will see going on, she's not going to settle in this, though. She's going to wrestle with it. She's going to be distracted once again. Can you imagine? But why would it be any different? I was thinking about the Apostle Paul. And praise the Lord for all of the great grace that Brother Paul had received and ministered of and spoken of. But do you know that it wasn't until 2 Timothy late in there that he finally said, I am now ready to be offered. Isn't that something? Yes. I am now ready to be offered. And I praise the Lord so sweetly that he wasn't going to be ready one moment prior. Only at that time was his race finished. The course was done. The faith was kept. And the fight completely fought. At that time, grace had fully done the work for him to apprehend in all. Praise God. Oh, I thank the Lord for that. Aren't you looking for that moment? Praise God. Amen. That's why we press on. Hallelujah. And so, let's move on to chapter 5. And here comes the bridegroom as he speaks to her in verse 1. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. Well, first off, all I can tell you, you better be aware of this, is my. My, oh my. Nine times that word my. And thank God that number 9 means divine completeness. Divine completeness. Think of that. Now you know he's trying to tell her something. What grace has divinely completed in you? Praise God. Can you hear him telling you tonight, settle down? Stop that strife. Settle down. Settle down. The word works effectually in them that believe. Praise the Lord. I believe he's given you the grace to believe this. Do you really believe it? This is not of you, this is of him, isn't it? And every good gift is from above. And let me tell you something, this is a good gift. We've been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Amen, we have. So you know what? Let's believe him. And the word works effectually in them that believe. So, thank God. He's telling her, honey, you're altogether perfect. You're ravishing. Will you please see yourself as I see you? Amen? See, without a vision, the people perish, don't they? See, if we get away from this vision of Paul's gospel, and the Song of Solomon is the vision of Paul's gospel. It's just another type, praise God, another ministering, another, the love letters, the proposal, praise God, that he's given us many, many times in this word. But without that vision, we'll perish and fall away from the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's the truth. And we know it, whether it's been from our own lives from time to time, or brothers and sisters that we ache for, that we know, that have gone through something, they've allowed something to cause them to fall away. And it never sits right. And my heart breaks for that. But he's telling her, honey, you're ravishing to me. See yourself as I see you, and rest and be still and lean upon me. You are mine, and grace alone has built you. As the word of God says, it's the word of his grace that builds us up. Amen. Gives us an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. That's the building of it all, is the grace of God. Letting this word minister to you in its fullness, in its depth, by the Holy Ghost, to believe it and to take it. Not that you earn it or merit it or somehow achieve it, but by the grace of God. This is the word of our Lord, and by the power of his might, this can work effectually in you. Amen? I'm praying for the most holy faith in my life and yours. Praise God. And that, in that, I'm believing him that he will sanctify it wholly. Praise God. But this is vital. Brothers and sisters, we have to understand, as the bridegroom says here, you are mine. You're mine. We are his workmanship. Amen? Yes, we are. We are not our own. We are his. Praise God. Even from the moment of salvation. But this is moving into, honey, it's all mine. And you are all mine. And I love you with a godly jealousy. I'm jealous over you. You are mine. So, I believe he's telling her, you are all that interests me. And I thank God as he goes on here. He says, I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. So we know in this, brothers and sisters, this myrrh and spice speak of the sufferings. She has been crushed and she has been grinded. But those are the joint sufferings together with Jesus Christ. He takes that as his own. Isn't that precious? Do you see how he glories in this, and the praise and the enjoyment, the pleasure, the ecstasy in going on with God. And going on in Paul's gospel, that's how you go on with God. This is to him. And I thank the Lord as he shows us here, and without holding back at all, these heavy trials that you've gone through, honey. The five mountaintops that you so freely went with me. When I said, come look from here, you went and looked. You went through them. And it's been a time of great sorrow in a lot of ways and great hurt. But through it all, honey, this is the most marvelous perfume to me there could ever be. God help us to take this for our own lives. And that's why, again, we lift one another up, because we know he has ministered to this how many times to her in this. Think of that. How many times over and over. He's ministering the same thing, but it's more intense each time. And he's again, I want your attention. I want your undivided attention. I want you to believe in my grace. I want you to think and to just swim in the depths of my grace. And here's what's so sweet, brothers and sisters. He goes on to say, I've eaten of my honeycomb with my honey. See, again, she not only gives out this honey, she's a storehouse of it. Isn't that something? See, the honeycomb stores the honey. And in this precious life, there's such an abundance. This is the true vessel that adds to the usefulness of the husband. And what a double portion she is again to him. You go ahead and read of the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. And it's all there. It talks about, again, what a storehouse she is of the Word of God, of this honey, of these golden apples, of this precious encouragement that flows. See, that speech, her tongue, all of those things which are unruly to man. Praise be to God. When we're in love and we accept that love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how wondrously edifying we can be to one another. We can spiritually encourage each other. Amen? Praise God. And that, again, is because the fellowship is in the gospel of Christ. This is because we have settled down. We dwell together. That's that dwelling as husbands and wives with one another. That truly we encourage one another to win Christ's best. Goes on to say here in verse 5. He says, I have drunk my wine with my milk. Brothers and sisters, that's spirit and truth. The Word of God tells us that the wine, praise the Lord, is the Spirit, and the milk is the Word, the truth. How sweet she is, the true worshiper who worships him in spirit and in truth. John 4:23, that's who the Father is looking for at this time. This is who he has sent his Spirit to find. I am seeking those that will worship me, the true worshipers, in spirit and in truth. And they're both in great abundance in her life. Matter of fact, in such abundance that she is so full of joy unspeakable and so full of glory. What does he do? Oh, friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, oh, beloved. What a feast she is. And what a feast she will be with him someday. Matter of fact, it's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Do you see it all in here? Praise God. But see, she doesn't just get there and that happens. This is going on now because his wife hath made herself ready. Praise the Lord. And take that to heart. God help us to really lay hold of that, that we rule and reign in spirit and in truth with him now. Amen? Because that's the Holy Ghost working that in us, that we know that he is faithful, that he will perform the good work which he's begun. I'm not going to doubt, praise the Lord, the grace of God. If it's on me, I'm doubting all the time. But praise be to God, it's on him. And I thank the Lord that, again, it's in him, and he's the one that encourages this in my life. But this is an abundance in her, and again, she truly is a vessel. The fellowship of the gospel of Christ flows out and pours forth. And what a oneness they are in him. And how wonderful that, again, in the presence with her and in the fellowship with her, it's, oh, beloved, oh, much love. See how important love is? God help us never to be a cold bunch. I'm serious. I am so thankful to Jesus that, you know, I get good reports. Those people from Denver, they're just happy. They're happy. Praise God. There's a joy. And it's because the word of his grace. It's because spirit and truth. Brothers and sisters, fight for it. Fight for it. Encourage your families to fight for it. I don't want to be some long face. Don't. God help us to fight through that. Amen. We're going through sometimes. I'm not talking fake. That's not what this is. But I'll tell you what. When the scriptures ring in your heart by the Spirit, you cannot help but sing in the night. You can't, and you know it. You can't help but be joyful. We're going to get hit, everybody, no matter sinner nor saint. Everybody is going to be hit with very tragic things in their life. They're going to face sicknesses. They're going to face heartaches. They're going to face death. They're going to face all these things. But when you know what you know in the Word of God, why you face the before ordained good works that ye should walk therein. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Oh, rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Amen. Amen. That's the company that God has called us to be. And in that, brothers and sisters, God help us to encourage one another and to seek to want to praise him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Praise God. Stir up the gift that is within you by the laying on of my hands. Praise the Lord. And I thank God for you. But now, verse 1, I'll tell you what, I'm ready to go again, aren't you? Let's go. But there's verse 2. Now, wait a second here. See, what often happens, can you imagine, when the Lord takes us to such heights and such experiences in our life, immediately thereafter are the most severe testings that we'll ever have. Amen. You know this. And it's obvious, brothers and sisters, is what's going to follow. And the Lord's always going to have it this way. There will never be in a lotus land of ease. It's always going to be the way of tests and trials. It's always going to be the way of the expansion of the wineskin. Amen? And it is. See, he wants more. He's always after more. And why? Because we are God's inheritance. Praise the Lord. You know, that used to invest for people and all that, and all they want to do is have a bigger nest egg. Want to have more. Because that's my... And that's going to be my kids' inheritance. So we got to save for retirement and all these different things. Well, let me explain something to you. This is God's inheritance, and I'm looking at him. That's it. He's invested everything in us. Amen, because he gave us his son. Everything God has is invested in you. Praise the Lord. You're everything valuable to him. Everything valuable to him. Praise the Lord. So now... Again, you can think, well, man, I'm pretty important to God. And matter of fact, if I'm his only investment, I've got all of his attention on me. Amen. And you know this so well because it's on you all the time. And in that being on you, you know by God's grace, he's going to mine as much as we'll allow him to mine in us. And his grace is always there to encourage us the much, the more, the much, the more, all the time. Praise God. Amen. And so in that, the wineskin expands, ever growing, because the Lord wants more joy in our lives, more of that Holy Ghost in our lives, to be full and overflowing for us and for others, because that is his will and purpose. It's through adversity and experience that we grow and grow up into him in all things. That's Ephesians 4:15. In all things. Praise God. And that's what he is after. And he's God. He said it that way. He's willed it that way in his Son. And he's purposed it that way in his Spirit. Praise God. So now verse 2. She says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocks, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. We're probably not even going to get to that part. But do you know how long you'd have to stay there to have your head filled with dew? He's waiting, isn't he? Aren't you thankful he's waiting? He waited on me again today. And every day. Every day. Oh, I love him so. But he's shown here, brothers and sisters, he's waiting. Because there has been a lull again in her fellowship. So height, so much height, so much fervor, so much wondrous, intimate interaction. Thankfulness, praise, how she thanks him. You come into my garden, you're feasting on me. And in the next moment, she's asleep. Well, we know the reason. We know who's at fault. We know why. It's because she's slumbering. And praise be to God, thank him for his faithfulness, because he is the one that has to awaken us. And notice the only thing that awakens us at all, brothers and sisters, is the voice. Only the Word can do it. Only the Word. And that's not just for your life. That's for that one you so love that you want to wake up. It's only going to be him. It's only going to be his voice. It's going to be that voice that knocks on the door. And brothers and sisters, as was just said a moment ago, we're going through some hard trials. We're fighting. And I'll tell you, that last stance of the enemy, that last effort to defeat, a lot of times in a battle, that can be the most and the most fierce. I was reading again about the Battle of the Bulge and some of those ones that kind of finished things. Those were the most fierce moments of battle there ever was. But it was at that fierce time, and when that was done, then it was over. And we're at that point where no matter how we cut it, we're going to see him soon. But brothers and sisters, oftentimes, see, in that battle, and we get into a lull, we can hesitate. We can withdraw again. And she's shown us this in this precious study already. Remember, she said, it's getting too hot for me. I need you to go away. Don't do that. God help us. God forbid we withdraw at this time we're in. But see, he abides faithful. And he keeps coming. And he's forever pursuing us to fully go. And here he is. He's standing at that door. He has never moved. And he's knocking at that door. The word of his grace, brothers and sisters, always finds us. Isn't that wonderful? It's always the word of his grace. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for this. And let it encourage you again tonight. People might be listening to this that might be a little bit heavy in a lot of different ways. Let the word of his grace, his voice, stir you up. He alone is faithful. He is the one that knocks. And once again, he's showing us, praise God, he's always there. But I have news for us, brothers and sisters. We need to respond. And we need to yield. And we must arise. And we must hearken. And it must be us that respond to grace by his grace. It's the truth. God help us to have faith again in the grace of God. That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He that is full of grace and truth. Amen? That's what's going to encourage us on. Always, always, always. Is this wondrous he that is faithful and true. It must be that way. And praise God, as we read here, she does respond. She awakens. And I thank God. It's not necessarily her that's awakening, but her heart is awakening. That's a big thing. See, there wasn't like big things going on in her body. She wasn't making big moves and grandiose gestures. She just let the still, small voice visit, minister to her soul, to her heart. That's what moved her. Brothers and sisters, when we wait for great and mighty things of us, you're going to be waiting a long time. It's the truth. It's the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord is what's true. And praise God in this encouragement to us. Her heart hears the word. It wasn't that she went up and did. You know how we can get like that sometimes. And that's when we're young in the Lord. We hear something, then we have to, oh, this is great. And I'm going to be so animated in all of these different things. And then crash and burn. You know it, amen? But she's getting it now. There's a maturity coming out. All I need this is to flutter. I don't care how this feels. Amen? I don't care what's going on around here. I don't care what's chirping and barking in my ears. I don't care even what this mind is telling me. The word of his grace is ministering to my heart. And I know who loves me. And I know who cares for me. And I know who's drawing me. And how does he awaken her? My sister, my spouse. He hits her right with a double portion. Isn't he wonderful? How wonderful how he deals with us. Going this way into the heights, praise God, it's only going to be divine. It's only going to be overwhelming. It's only going to be magnificent grace. He does not tell her, get up, my child. He doesn't say, okay, my friend, come on now. He doesn't even say, well, let's go, brother. Oh, no. She has received the much, the more. And let me tell you something, from that time on, it's the only way it's ever going to be and it's ever going to sit right for any of us, brothers and sisters. To whom much is given, much is required. And he comes at her fully loaded. My sister, my spouse. You're a double portion to me, honey, and you're a double portion to the Father. I heard your words. I've come for them. I'm telling you who you are in Christ. Now let's go. Huh? Amen? Amen. Oh, how I needed that again today. Thank you, Jesus. I know ones that used to be awake to this precious gospel. And I know ones that are sleeping even right now. But I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. The only way we're going to really awaken out of it, it's going to have to be my sister, my spouse. Oh, yeah. I thank God for any of the steps. Don't get me wrong. But when you have been dealt with the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus and you've taken it, let me tell you something. The only way you're coming out of it, the only way you're going to sing that song with full joy and full praise is when you respond to my sister, my spouse. You only know one thing, and that's a full joy. Oh, yeah. Isn't that something? You're marked for him. Praise God. Now listen to this, and we'll move along here. Brothers and sisters, what a beautiful request here. He didn't get her up and say, now you tell me you're sorry. Huh? Oh, I'm just, you know, I'm good, but, and I forgive you, but I just want to hear you tell me you're sorry. I need you to repent. You see where we can go with all this? Right back to our flesh, right back to sleep. He doesn't have time to waste. He's in love. What are you talking about, honey? We got to get going. We're lovers. Amen. So he doesn't say, well, you tell me you're sorry. He doesn't say, well, let's talk about all the wrong things you've done. What does he say here? He says it so sweetly. He says, open to me. Open to me. That's two precious meanings. It means to throw it wide open. Wide open. And then it means to be engraved upon. Engraved upon. And all I can think about that is, my goodness, it's got to be that new name. That name that no one knows. That wonderful company, the Full Overcomers, that Philadelphia church, they're in Revelation 3. And I'll write upon you my new name. Amen? Oh, yes. And that name, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, that name's being written right now. And it's called, He's My Bridegroom. And this is so sweet. This is so wondrous. He wants her to know that and to understand, honey, I love you. Now listen, there can't be anything withheld. There can be nothing between. You got to throw it all open. Praise God. And what's the only thing really we can throw it all open to? The grace of God. Amen? Because I know if I'm throwing this thing wide open to anything but grace, I'm in trouble. So we know that the only thing that when we open it up to Jesus that we're ever going to be met with is grace. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it's wonderful. And look what he calls her to respond to her after he's told her, open to me. My sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. All I can say to that is, wow, 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 wow. My goodness, he loves you. Do you get this? Do I get this? I mean, he loves us so much. Again, you think about the sermons the Lord's been giving us. I was thinking about that last one or maybe a time before that. See, we always want to be like that prodigal coming back to this the kingdom. Oh, I just want to serve. It'll make me feel better. I got to earn it. Don't insult me. And he doesn't even say that, does he? What are you talking about? This is who you are. This is who you've always been. Our minds, man, it always wants to wait upon us. Always think we got to earn something and achieve something. He's already given it all to you. He's given you everything. And he's given you, by the grace of God, the Spirit to minister to you, yea, these deep things. And you do know this. We'll jump ahead. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. And this is what he is getting her to fully respond and to open to. Honey, you're mine, and this is my work. I want you to really see how I love you, how you've ravished me the moment you laid hold of Paul's gospel to be my bride. Now notice as we close this up tonight, the four qualities that were just laid out. I shouldn't say qualities, but what he calls her. My sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. We're in the Old Testament, and I just can't believe, but he always just blows me away with his perfection. Those four living ones, the beasts there that are seen in Ezekiel 1:10. If you look this up, they're in perfect order of what he's talking about here. In Ezekiel 1:10, when Ezekiel sees the cherubim, those living ones. He sees the first the face of a man, then he sees the face of a lion, then he sees the face of the ox, and then he sees the face of the eagle. It's different and in different order than in Revelation. Now, why would it be anything but perfect? We're in the Old Testament, and this is what God is showing us. But if you think about my sister, that sister speaks of the humanness. It speaks of the man, the first face of the beast. My love, my goodness, that's my queen. Reign with me, praise God. And that's why the second one is the lion. And I love how the next one he calls her the dove. That's the gentle sacrifice. That's the ox. My fair one, that means complete, perfect, the full overcoming eagle. And then, brothers and sisters, we even have a double portion in these meanings here. Because even in the Hebrew, sister means, as if you recall, to have the same father, but it also means my bride or my daughter-in-law. The love here, my love, it means my companion. The dove means my gentle, my weak one, leaning upon him. My undefiled, that word means perfectly, perfect, and lacking nothing. This is how he meets her. This is how he awakens her. This is what he tells her. And brothers and sisters, isn't it amazing? You know, the Word of God tells us, forgetting those things which are behind, he doesn't even mention anything that's behind. So why do we? Think of that. I'm testifying of my own life. Well, Lord, honey, why? This is our fellowship. This is what you are to me. And brothers and sisters, we'll leave it there. And we'll hit it again next week, if the Lord tarry. But notice, he says, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. He never moved from her. She may have been sleeping, but he never moved. He's been waiting all the time. And I'll tell you tonight, if you feel, sense, that fellowship is waning, that maybe that fire and that fervency isn't what it was or what it could be, he's never moved. He's right there waiting. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed. Praise his name.